Welcome back, Michael Warren Thomas. It's For the Love of Food at SaveYourLife.com. And a nice article in the Democrat and Chronicle just a couple days ago. I have the digital subscription. I'm not sure when it actually goes into print, but Tracy Schumacher wrote about Seasons Noodles, which is a new restaurant in downtown Rochester and owned by a 22-year-old immigrant from I think from China. And it's a small restaurant, tiny restaurant. He was the only one working the restaurant. It's in at 50 Chestnut Street, which is where the Garth Fagan dance is located, up on the, I don't recall what floor they're on, fourth or fifth floor maybe. But this is in the lobby of 50 Chestnut Street, which I think maybe it had an antique shop in it a few years ago. Also, I'm not sure what's in the space where Flower City Diner was located, which is also in that first floor of the Chestnut building. But I haven't been into the restaurant yet. Maybe Seasons Noodle is connected to that space, but I don't think so, judging by the photos that I saw. They're looking forward to trying it. But just beware, because Tracy wrote about it, lots of people have been going over there, and he sold out a few days in a row, I think, and has now hired someone to help out just because of the amount of traffic coming from the article. So he had been, according to Tracy's article, you know, thinking that being close to the Eastman School of Music would be good, but of course, you know, fewer people going out, fewer students on the street. It's been a pretty quiet start, I think, to the restaurant until this article came out, and some fun details in the article. You should read it if you don't have a subscription. You should get a subscription. It's $10 a month, or $9.99 a month. And, you know, that's really pennies per day to get some of the scoops on what's happening in our area. And Tracy's been writing about food for quite a few years now for the DNC. So Seasons Noodle is one of the newest places in Rochester. And I guess he's hoping to attend the Eastman School of Music at some point, and maybe, you know, if not that, perhaps Eastman Community Music School, which is associated with it. And he has a keyboard in the restaurant that he practices on and things when the restaurant isn't busy. He's open 7 days a week. Really, kind of a cool story. Makes things from scratch. Can't wait to try it. But again, just beware that he's been extra busy because of the article in the DNC. And that'll probably continue for a few weeks. And hopefully, you know, the buzz from that article and people going back, because it's really good from what I've heard, you know, he'll be in good shape for the rest of the winter there at Chestnut Street. And, you know, it's... some people might argue that, well, you know, the DNC is a corporate business. It's based here, USA Today, but you know, it is a huge publicly traded company. But they're writing stories about things that, in this case, you know, Seasons Noodle is probably never going to be an advertiser in the DNC. I mean, it's just too small a business. Their local journalists have had a huge impact on his business and on many other local businesses. So while I certainly support our local publications, things like 585 Magazine and Edible Finger Lakes and Life in the Finger Lakes, I also support the local journalists that work for the DNC. Not as many as there used to be. Like most print publications and newspapers in particular, there have been just a kind of an endless series of cutbacks. But they still have many really excellent local journalists. So, again, check out that article and let me know what you think of the noodles. Another place to get some really authentic food, and in this case dumplings, is at San's Dumplings, which is Kemeter Wines. This is in the Finger Lakes, not midway. It's not far from Geneva, really. It's an hour from Rochester to get down there. And it's directly across the street from Anthony Road Wine Company, where Johannes Reinhardt worked for many years as head winemaker, and then launched his own winery, Kemeter Wines, right across the street. And his wife, Ismelda, she is one who started San's Noodles, I think, or San's Dumplings. I think just saw a post about it being a year ago. So, an hour away, and right nearby, just a couple miles north of Anthony Road and Kemeter and San's Dumplings, is Fox Run Vineyards. They are the featured winery for the Wine CSA. This is a monthly shipment of 3 bottles of wine from different wineries each month. And this past month was Sheldrake Point in January, Dr. Frank in December, Boundary Breaks in November. And this month, it's Fox Run Vineyards. And I can't wait to see what's in this shipment. I had a UPS notice and thought that was the shipment from Wine CSA, but it's something else. So it's due to arrive here anytime in the next week. You still have about a week, a little over a week, to join the Wine CSA for February and get the shipment from Fox Run. Again, it'll be a different winery in March. Can't wait to see what other wineries are going to be featured. So it's about, $86, something like that. And they ship you 3 wines. And they seem to be sending some of their more interesting wines. Sheldrake sent their ice wine, their Riesling ice wine, which is made the $86 shipment a bargain, because their ice wine is like about half of that, or a little more than half of that. They also had their Acid Head Riesling, which was a Riesling very high in acidity, and I haven't tried that one yet. Looking forward to opening that. So I think in general, these Wine CSA shipments seem to include sort of intriguing different wines. In the case of Sheldrake, the Acid Head part of their beta series, so kind of test marketing, small batches, see how people like these. And again, I can't wait to see what's in the one from Fox Run. Should be some fantastic wine. Someone sent me a question about natural wine, wondering if there are any wineries in the Finger Lakes that produce natural wine, and we'll talk about this in more detail tomorrow on the Wine Show. The short answer is yes and no. It's all in how you define natural wine, and there are many aspects to winemaking that are potentially involved in this idea of natural wine. It's also a pretty controversial term among winemakers, and I would say maybe it's not too big a generalization to say that there are a lot of winemakers that are pretty skeptical of that term and how it's used in marketing. But, you know, a couple things. One, the use of sulfites is one of the key drivers of this idea of natural wine. There's some good articles online. I can be happy to send you links to some of them. But my overall view on sulfites is that if you are making large amounts of not such great wine, sulfites are a kind of a fallback backstop to kind of saving your wine. And, you know, it's a little, perhaps, similar to the way I view mass production of meat, of cows and chickens and things. If your operation is massive and not all that clean, potentially, then you rely on antibiotics to solve your problems. If you run a really clean operation and, you know, have very healthy animals, you probably don't need those antibiotics so much. But if you have lots of animals in very small spaces, you probably do need antibiotics more. And so if you want to avoid that, avoid those antibiotics, avoid the use of sulfates to, you know, a larger degree, then, you know, going with smaller producers, local producers, people you know, people you trust, people that are passionate about how they do things, then you're probably going to see lower sulfite levels. That's a generalization, but it kind of makes sense, I think. And so to be more specific on sulfite levels, from what I've read, you know, red wines might average around 50 milligrams per liter. I guess the upper range of what's allowed in the United States is something like 350 milligrams per liter, which is a lot, I think. And some people are more sensitive to it than others. So white wines, it's not just red wine, white wines can have it, and the lower levels of acidity potentially require more sulfites because the acidity acts as a preservative to some degree. One of the advantages of being in a cool climate region like the Finger Lakes is that we have high acidity levels, and that acid head Riesling from Sheldrake Point kind of pushes those limits a little and sort of highlights that fact. So our region has that advantage that we tend to have more acidic wines that probably need fewer sulfites than other wines. France has defined natural wine, and within their definition of natural wine, they are allowed to use, I think, up to 30 milligrams per liter of sulfur. And I think that's actually what is measured in the wine. It's not actually necessarily what they use, but what is measured in the wine. That is a 30 milligrams per liter limit. So there are a number of wineries that post the amounts in there, in their technical documents. There are very few, if any, that in the Finger Lakes that use no sulfites at all, that I know of. Using no sulfites at all is pretty risky, and there are not too many winemakers in the country that are doing that, as far as I know. But other aspects of natural wine, we'll talk more about sulfites on the wine show tomorrow. But other aspects of natural wine include, the basic idea is low intervention. So hand picking rather than machines, probably ideally gravity fed, using gravity to move the wine, which is not that common. Here are a couple of wineries in the Niagara Peninsula of Canada that do quite a bit of that. It's also, you know, not using pesticides in the vineyards. And in general, I think the Finger Lakes doesn't use that many insecticides, although that may change if the spotted lanternfly invades our area the way it has Pennsylvania. They're struggling to control it, even using insecticides. But there aren't that many insecticides used in the Finger Lakes, I don't think, in most of the wineries. Herbicides are used, but there are quite a few wineries and a growing number of wineries that are not using herbicides. I saw on Bloomer Creek's website that they haven't used herbicides in 20 years, which is pretty amazing. They're using, you know, mechanical means to control the weeds with their tractors and things. And there are, again, a growing number of Finger Lakes wineries that are getting away from using herbicides. But fungicides are a bigger issue. We have this cool climate is great for producing acid in wine, but it's also a humid climate that's great for encouraging fungus growth on the leaves and on the grapes. So fungicides are used. Wineries like Bloomer Creek use copper and sulfur, which are allowable under organic rules. They're things you got to be careful with. Just because they're organic doesn't mean that that you can just, you know, use them with abandon and not worry about them. You got to be very careful using those. But they are natural substances, and again, allowable within organic certification to some degree. Now, as far as I know, Bloomer Creek is not organically certified. There are certified organic vineyards in the United States. I don't know if there are any in the Finger Lakes, actually. But there are a number of wineries that are using organic practices, and that would include, and biodynamic practices too, by the way. That would include Bloomer Creek and Herman Wiemer's transitioning more of their vineyards to organic and biodynamic practices. So there's quite a bit of that going on, and a growing amount of that. And then another aspect, a key aspect of natural wine is wild yeasts. Bloomer Creek has been doing that exclusively for about a decade, which for all their wines. There are many other wineries that are doing some of their wines with wild yeasts. That's a growing trend. Bloomer Creek is got to be the clear leader in that in our area. They're on the east side of Seneca Lake, right next to Stone Cat Cafe, which is closed for the winter, but Scott Signore will be reopening in the spring. They always close during the winter. Pandemic or no pandemic, they are closed for several months in the winter. But Bloomer Creek's not far from Damiani and Red Newt and Chateau Lafayette Renault and Atwater. So, again, if you look up natural wine in Finger Lakes, you'll see Bloomer Creek mentioned probably most often, and including at least one article in the New York Times. And that one was from, I think, 2011. So this is something that Bloomer Creek has been doing because they think it makes better wine. They, if you know, and meet Kim and Deborah from Bloomer Creek, you'll realize that they are they're not really out to set trends. They're not out to follow trends. They just are doing what they think works best, and aren't particularly concerned about what other people think of it. I think is my impression. Fascinating people, tremendous winemaker, and selling a lot of their wines in New York City. So very limited tasting room hours, and you can probably have their wine shipped, but I'm not sure what their winter hours are at Bloomer Creek. So small winery, but again, doing things their way, and those practices seem to be growing trends. Again, natural wine is a tricky term. It doesn't have a definition in the United States, and even once you define something, an organic has been defined, the devil's in the details, and these are not simple terms or concepts. So, but that also makes them kind of fascinating, and studying it, looking into it, you will learn a lot about wine, and I think you'll see that our region has a lot of very dedicated winemakers who realize that some of the best wines are made with low intervention, and they are continuing to kind of move down that path. So let me know what you find. Let me know if you have questions about it. But some phenomenal wines being made in the Finger Lakes, and you'll have fun exploring them this season. The tasting rooms are very quiet. They're always quiet during the winter. January, February, the two quietest months, and really ideal time if you want to avoid crowds and visit the wineries. Not all tasting rooms are open, but a lot of the wineries are open for you to pick up wine, or they'll ship it. So let me know if you have comments, questions, michael@saverlife.com. We'll be back with Discover the Finger Lakes and then the Grapevine tomorrow here at saverlife.com.